Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, hello, one and all, welcome to Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson. A gigantic thank you to the always gorgeous Pete Dillon with Cravings. Look, this is very exciting. I'm in the studio. I'm with some very wonderful human beings, and we've been off air for 3 months. You've probably already noticed that because there's been a gaping hole in your life. But now we're about to plug your hole, and I'm here to do that with two wonderful people, Mike Costello, Dan Gardner. Welcome back, boys.
Thank you for having us back. It's a wonder that you actually went through with it in the end, you know, we were talking about. And thank you also for opening the show by saying gaping hole and plugging a gap. Well, already.
Look, we filled our quota in the first 30 seconds, so I think we're there now.
It's true. It's just, anything else is a bonus from here on in. How exciting. We're back. We're back on air. Doesn't it feel like we've been away for about 7 years?
No, I've just been in the, I just sat down in the corner of the studio when we went off air last, and I've just been waiting for you guys to come back again.
I have you.
Yeah. Why? Really? What did you guys do?
Oh, I don't know. Just lived life. You know what I mean? Just got out there and just did stuff.
It's lovely to be back.
It is good. It is good. It's just weird. Honestly, I was nervous before coming on. I feel like I might throw up on you.
Oh,
one of you. Someone.
Oh, you say the sweetest things.
But we are very happy to be back. We love Joy 94.9 and we love cars. And we combine those two and we call it Fender Bender. So that's what we're here to do, guys. We'd also love to hear from our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful listeners. If you've got anything to say to us, that's nice. No. If you've got any questions or just want to say hi, we would love to hear from you. The text number is 0427-JOY-949. And the email address is onair@joy.org.au. If you've got any queries, you want to, you know, get some advice on cars, we will pretend like
or if you just
want to talking about.
Just give us a bit of love, you know? Yeah. We've been off air for 3 months. We just want to know you're all still out there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They've probably moved on, Tim. Let's be honest. Well, they've moved on.
To the other gay motoring radio hour.
Oh, yeah, I do see a point, yeah.
There is.
Yeah. It is a boom market.
It is a boom market. But no, thank you, guys. Did we have a good couple of months? Did we have a break? Mike, what did you go on holiday? Did you...
Well, I committed an act of outrageous treason as some of you listeners might know, we all used to work for the same publication for our day jobs, and I did leave and go to another one.
Jerk!
I know. I know. But it's... So I've been getting used to working at Car Advice, which is a very different vibe to where I was. It's awesome fun, but that's been consuming things just lately. So.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it, when you kind of take a new job? It is a bit all-consuming. So.
But it's still cars, so it would have been awkward if I went into an industry that wasn't cars and was still on Fender Bender saying, what has been going on with cars?
Do you find that funny? Do you kind of, like, do you ever think, oh, maybe I won't work in cars one day?
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like some people go from, you know, motoring journalism to normal journalism. Or,
I never
intended
to work in cars.
Yeah.
It was sort of an out of the blue thing. And I know it was for you guys too, to some degree. So, hey, who knows? It could happen.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. I can't think of anything else now. But in saying that, I'm a Gemini and I reserve the right to change my mind every 5 seconds.
So. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Blame it on your stars.
I blame a lot on my stars, actually.
It's convenient, isn't it?
So what about you, Dan? You've literally just been hiding here in a closet or something, have you?
Well, it's been said about me for years, Tim. Yes. I've been very busy. I've been doing some interesting launches. I've been getting about the place.
Yeah.
Very exciting to lately watch the latest Ferrari California T get unveiled in Melbourne. That was probably a bit of a highlight for me.
Sexy.
But yeah, I've been getting around, been driving Maseratis up in various states and keeping myself out of trouble, but that would be complete
rubbish.
It's a lie.
Oh, yes. It's a lie. Let me ask you, boys, is anyone watching the Tour de France?
No.
Yeah.
Why would you ask that?
Well, people are obsessed. People that don't even care about cycling.
I've got a couple of friends who stay up late and watch that. I mean, I'll admit, I do jump on the bandwagon when it comes to the World Cup soccer. Not normally
That's
a soccer
different.
Guy, but, but the Tour de France, I don't jump on the cycling bandwagon when the tour comes along.
A lot of people
but
do.
I do actually have a lot of time for Lance Armstrong. he's a modern day Robin Hood in a lot of ways when you think about it.
Really?
He stole from the rich corporate sponsors and gave it back to his cancer charity.
That's true.
And he beat other cyclists who were also cheating. So what's not to like?
That's true. That's true. Probably got a bum rap compared to everyone else in the bloody industry. I don't know. I just wish I understood it. And everyone's like, it looks so beautiful. You know what? Go to France. Yeah? Get a holiday. Have a holiday. Go to France. Don't watch a bunch of people on these bikes riding around like idiots.
Oh dear! Is Tim having a bit of a rant?
Are you ranting about, you know, toned men in tight clothing?
Yeah, that's
exercising on mountains.
I feel like that'll be hairless.
Well, you know, aerodynamics. How un-aerodynamic is hair?
Can it be that bad?
No, I think they shave it off because if they fall over, they fall in the rocks, that's the real reason.
What do you mean? What happens?
Well, if you've got hairy legs and you can get really... this is disgusting, but you get infected way easier if you've got hairy legs. Harder to clean the wounds if you come off.
Nice. Really?
That's the real reason they shave, yeah. Not for aerodynamics. That's silly.
But what about swimmers?
That, I believe, is because water, being a thicker medium than air, has a greater effect on hair.
You know a lot of things.
Just
don't
call
you?
Me Dr. Making Up Dad.
If you've got any actual facts you'd like to tell us.
Now, have we spent the first several minutes of the show talking about bloody cycling?
I know.
What are you here to do, guys?
Shall we move on? Shall we move on to cars? Let's talk about cars. Now, let's talk about something that's happened this week. Oh, this thing is getting all over my head.
He was talking about a micro set of headphones.
They're called headphones.
I'm just going to make sure that you know that. Because radio is not a visual medium.
No, it's true. And I did forget what they were called, and I nearly went to call them microphone as well. Now, guys, we know what's happening at the end of this year. The very, very last Ford Falcon is going to be launched ever. Mm. Let's just take a moment.
Meh.
Ooh. Well, now, this week, though, we've had a bit of a teaser. What a surprise. What a surprise that a car company has released a teaser.
Ford.
Did you say bored?
Yeah.
So, look, we've seen a tint of the Falcon, guys. Are we excited? It doesn't sound like we are.
Well, you know, it's only really a thing because journalists like us play this game where we publicise every tease that a car maker does. They reveal a headlight and a grill and a wheel and a taillight and, you know, every bit of that gets written about and talked about and it goes on social media and it gets spread around and it goes nuts. And I guess, hey, who can blame him for doing it? But it is kind of weird when you see a tiny fragment of a car and then you have to extrapolate from that and guess what the thing looks like. When in reality, we know the new Falcon's going to be the same as the current Falcon with a tweaked nose and a slightly different screen inside.
Yeah.
It will look a bit more like its brethren, though, in that it follows Ford's global design theme. Ford, if you're probably familiar with, you know, have a very typical trapezoidal front grille now, and they've also got a sort of characteristic headlight shape that the Falcon has sort of avoided until now. And this little teaser shows us that, indeed, the final Falcon will adhere to those global design trends.
Yeah. Will anyone buy it? No, I think is the question. Do you know what? I think they will. I think the first few months of release of that car, the Falcon will do well, and then it will just kind of slowly
Commodore
peter out.
Commodore bounce back, and it's still going pretty strong, but I don't know. It's
they offer a lot. They seem to offer, you know, a few more variants, and, you know, they've got a wagon and stuff.
I just think, you know, it's going to be. It's almost unprecedented to launch a car when everybody knows it is doomed in 2 years.
It's weird.
It won't exist beyond that. And all the talk has been of doom and gloom in the end of the line, and then they release a new one, and they're trying to drum up interest in this thing that's just...
Yeah.
It's unprecedented to do that. And I don't know how, you know, why would... If you knew, if all you associated the Falcon badge now with was, you know, failure and loss,
doom,
why would you buy a new one? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how much they've changed to this vehicle and how it drives, and I think that will, you know, determine, obviously, how many people go and buy it. But we were talking not that long ago, Dan, about... you know, Ford's ending their local manufacturing in 2016, but how long after that do you think you'll be able to get a new Falcon? Because obviously, it's, you know, it's not going to cease sale the second that it closes. There'll be a while of...
They'll have a giant yard full of ones that they built.
Yeah. And so although everyone's saying that, you know, after they launch the last Falcon, you'll only have 2 years to buy it. Well, actually, you won't. You'll have probably quite a lot longer than that, because if what you're saying, Mike, is true, that they won't sell many of them. They'll make a lot, not sell many, and they'll be probably for sale for quite a long time.
Production of Broadmeters is down 83 cars a day, including territory now, so they're not making a lot.
No,
that's the point,
which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But look, we've got a lot more coming up, guys. We're going to move on from the local news. Actually, no, we're not. We're going to talk about something else. Local, I just realised, but we're going to do it very, very shortly. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Please stick around. That sounded desperate. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Mike and Dan here with you after a three-month break. Three long months. I was lost without you, guys.
You were saying you were sounding desperate just before you came
on. What's happening to me today?
No, you're a bit needy, I think. It's weather. A little bit. It makes you a little bit...
Really is awful weather.
I'm sorry,
today.
But lost without you, I've suddenly got a Celine Dion song in my head.
Oh, dear.
It was a Celine Dion song.
I think it might have actually been Delta Goodrum.
Yeah.
They're much the same.
I have many a good weekend ruined for me by a Celine Dion song in my head.
Delta Goodrum, that's right. We're talking different eras here, aren't we? Yeah. I just kind of buried all that in this miscellaneous pile of pop rubbish from 10 years ago.
I was going to say, early noughties, yeah. Well, it's back. It is back.
As are we.
We are back. Now, guys, I saw something in the news recently about... now, Victoria, the fair state that we broadcast from, the state government has rejected calls to lower the drink driving limit. So it's 0.05 at the moment, right? Has been for... a very, very long time. And there have been calls from high-level cops wanting to bring it down to 0.02. The government and the opposition have both said in this state, shut it down.
Well, what it would mean is if you, as you know, everyone has been the designated driver at some point, and the way it typically goes is you go with your friends, you might have one or two drinks over the course of the evening, but not enough to make you at all influenced by the alcohol you've consumed. It's just a matter of being social, having one beer and then a couple of Cokes and drinks.
Coca-Colas, yep.
And you are fine to drive, generally speaking, but 0.02 is at a point where lots of people would have one, even a pot of beer, and they would be over that mark. And I haven't seen a lot of data that backs up that going from 0.05 to 0.02 would actually, you know, lower the risks.
Yeah.
Another thing that concerns me is there was a police inspector came out this week and said, and he also made an announcement this week, and he said...
he was a joy policeman.
Exactly. And he said, you know, something along the lines of, to paraphrase, sometimes you have to give up a few freedoms to be safe. And I just thought to myself, well, I hate the slippery slope analogy, but we're already talking about giving up more freedoms, having more restrictions for what exactly?
Yeah.
It kind of seems like... it worries me.
Yeah.
It worries me.
Let me just get on my put on my devil's advocate glasses a second.
they're really hot pink.
But don't you think, Mike, that you know, even if this saves one life, then it's a measure worth doing?
Well, I just don't see how you could prove it saves one life. You know, is there a difference between 0.05 and 0.02 in terms of your reflex speed and in terms of your how focused and attentive you are? And when you drive on a road, you see people making so many errors. Mm. There's so much wrong with the way people drive: lack of training, lack of ability, lack of attention, whatever. How do you isolate it as being a 0.03%? Blood alcohol content that is actually the defining difference? It's kind of a hard thing to do.
And I think that's the kind of data we need, is before they really kind of push that, is how, what difference on the person driving does that much alcohol have, 0.4, 0.5, 0.2, whatever. What's the difference? And if there is a big difference, then sure, let's look at it. But until then, I don't know. Are you all for this, Dan Gardner, or are you just...
I've now taken my devil's advocate sunglasses off. And I can say I completely agree with Mike. And that's rare that I say that. Look, it is exactly as you say, it is a slippery slope. As soon as you set a precedent by doing this, then you open up a whole raft of other current rules that allow a little bit of leniency and a little bit of choice, allowing people to do the right thing and be responsible. But when you introduce rules like this, it's saying, we don't trust the general public to make the right decision. Mm. Therefore, we're going to make it for you. And I think that is on the verge of some kind of Orwellian state.
Mm. Well, I mean, look, we'd love to hear what you think as well, because, you know, there are people out there, obviously, that have been affected by the road toll. Do you think that this would matter? 0427JOY949 is the text line or email on air at joy.org.au. Now, some other news, a little bit less serious. Guys, we've seen this week Opel have released the next Corsa. Now, of course it looks good. See what I did there?
I actually genuinely found that one a bit funny.
Yeah, I noticed you were a real idiot, you know that. Now, look, we've seen the new Corsa. Now, that might not mean a lot to Australian people, because I think maybe six of them were sold when Opel was here in the 12 months they were here. But are we going to see this car in Australia again? Maybe?
Yes, because we've seen it before, haven't we? Unequivocally, absolutely will. Holden won't admit as much, but Holden have got... Holden's, I don't know if it was in our interim or if it was before, but Holden's new president came out recently and said, we want to be the number one.
He came out too?
He did.
It's just all over.
What's been happening when we've been off air?
The car industry is out of control. Yeah. It's an odd choice of, I don't know why I use that phrase in a sense, but I do. He said they want to overtake Toyota and be the number one brand. And to do that, General Motors has said, we're going to close your factory, but we're going to give you the right to choose whatever cars from the global portfolio you want to. You won't have to choose the Korean cars you have or the European cars. We're not going to foist anything on you. You can take what you like.
Right.
And the Corsa is so much better than the Chevrolet Avio / Barina that is sold throughout the Asian markets that absolutely they'll take it.
Yep.
Why wouldn't they? And the Barina, the European-style Opel version of the Barina, was such a big hit here and
huge.
Such a critical hit,
yeah.
Just as the Astra was.
Yeah.
They'd have rocks in their head not to do it.
The question I have is, because I agree, I think they will do it, how? Like, that Barina that they've got now is not that old. It's only, what, 3 years old at best?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that they'll just sneakily just go, or do you think maybe they'll change names and go? Because the other thing is with Barina, and I'm not trying to kind of do gender stereotypes or anything, it has a bit of a slightly girlier image because of the name, because of its heritage, when those small cars were seen as, and I'm using, you know, inverted commas, girls' cars in the 80s and 90s, and they're not anymore. There's no kind of gender.
Well, there was a Barina Sports Girl Edition.
There
and
very
once
much
you
was.
Do that, there's no going back.
There's
that
not.
Badge will never be masculine friendly ever. Again,
you know
once
what I mean?
You call it a sports girl.
So I think that they would do well, even though it's got a lot of leverage, that name, but I think they'd maybe do well to change it, to make it a Corsa, a Holden Corsa. I don't know.
Well, why not? You could have both. They used to sell two levels of Barina, Barina Classic and New Barina. They did it and they had one that was super cheap, one that was a bit more premium. They could do that again.
Yep.
Why not?
I would just like to say, Mike, I have absolutely no reservations about driving a sports girl edition of it. In fact, if you could do me a California T sports girl, that would be pretty much perfect, I would say.
Oh, dear me.
Just dilute the Ferrari Maranello red just a few shades lighter.
Yes.
Put a bit of white paint in there.
Yep.
Rainbow!
Get a nice pink hue. A rainbow Ferrari would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, come on. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Show your support, Ferrari. Yeah, guys. If you wouldn't mind. Now, some other things that are not related to Australia, of course, that I cannot remember what I was looking at. Oh, yes. So, have we all seen comedians and cars getting coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Big fan.
What
Jerry Seinfeld, you know? Literally. It's literally... Okay.
What's the deal?
That guy. So he drives around in fancy cars with
it's
fancy
It's a junior
friends.
Event. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He literally drives around in cars with friends getting coffee. And they're
all
comedians.
All in the name. It'd be weird if the show had nothing to do. It was called Comedians in Cars and Coffee. And it was actually a deep, melodramatic, romantic drama.
That would be freaky.
It'd be weird.
Look, the
but
good thing is that that's coming back for another season. They've been advertising it. But Joel McHale, who's on the show Community, I think, and also does a show called The Soup. Yeah, he's done a brilliant thing, which we will post to the Facebook page of Fender Bender, which is Comedians in Cars Getting Cocaine.
And he's got I think it's Tony Hale.
Oh my God.
He played Buster in Arrested Development.
And he's
and
in
he's
Veep.
On Veep.
Oh, he's
and,
so good.
Yeah, just a really good old-fashioned piss take.
There's a lot of ridiculous videos out there, and this one is a particular highlight.
It's pretty Hollywood.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So we will put that on our Facebook page a little bit later on. Now, some other things that came out this week, guys, apart from me, were the... Now, have you seen this? This is
You weren't fooling anyone.
I know. Can you believe it? Have we seen the Mercedes-Benz truck that drives itself?
Yeah. Do you remember the Steven Spielberg film Duel?
Yes, it's terrifying.
Was that actually a prediction of what we're heading for? Are we going to have evil Mercedes-Benz trucks rampaging?
We'll have to
beating up Brazilian cars.
Yeah,
you know, like they did in the football tournament. Maybe I don't know. Trying to make a topic, but you do have it's this autonomous driving tech is really. Well, taking a step forward with this, isn't it?
It's really interesting because, I mean, you know, we've seen it in cars, and I think they're using some of the tech from the Mercedes-Benz S-Class, which they've tested a non-autonomous driving system. Look, but this thing is a lot bigger and scarier than an S-Class.
Yeah, but you hit on exactly what is the wise thing about this, is that commercial vehicles use more fuel than cars. They are technically more dangerous when things go wrong, that is. They have poorer aerodynamics. So by applying this autonomous driving technology to heavy vehicles, is actually makes more sense than doing it on cars in the first place. So, you know, you've got the potential to drive in huge convoys, all very closely bunched together. So you've got the aerodynamics of one truck rather than several, saving a lot of fuel. people.
Yep.
By bunching them all up, you make a lot more room on the road, so people who want to use their arms to drive a car rather than a computer can get around a little bit easier. And there's also a lot to suggest that an automatic driver is a lot safer than a bag of blood at the wheel.
Well, yes.
But what about a human at the wheel?
I didn't mean like a black pudding or something. Just sat there, you know.
That could be weird.
It was my way of saying
hanging from the roof. Look, I agree with you, and I think we've seen what this thing can do, but it was all done under very, you know, supervised conditions and all that kind of thing. Now, you're in Australia, yeah? Driving down the freeway, and a kangaroo jumps out in front of you. What the hell happens?
I like how your accent just got an octave more ochre.
You know what I mean?
Driving down the freeway, there's a roo. Leave us in front. Jesus.
But I've been hanging out a lot of truck stops. No, I'm kidding.
Volvo developed this technology in Europe that was designed to detect moose on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And it would isolate moose and watch
them. Sorry, I must just pick up the plural of moose. It's actually meese. Sorry.
It's good to know. You learn something every day. And one of the questions that we actually asked back in the day of one of Volvo's safety people was, what about kangaroos?
Yeah.
She said, well, kangaroos are so unpredictable in their movements and so bizarre in the way they sometimes hop high, low, they move sideways, left, right. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't have a lot of car sense or truck sense.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to map them. So,
what happens?
So bad luck.
What happens with an autonomous truck is exactly the same as what happens at home. Yeah, just turn the roux into several bits of barbecue gear and a red mist in the air. And on you go with your way.
Have you ever driven up the north of WA? That is just every 30 seconds. It's just carnage. It's absolutely
terrifying.
Carnage.
Yeah. It's funny how much you change your behaviour when you're driving when you know it's a roux infested area. I recently drove a small truck full of furniture for my best friend across to Mount Gambier in southeast South Australia, and the last portion of that drive was an absolute roux festival, and it was pissing with rain, and it was 8 o'clock at night, and it was utterly terrifying. We were driving at like 70 kilometres an hour, and both of me and my friend were just looking around us the whole time for a roux. Didn't see one, but it really does affect how you drive. I don't know what it does for me anyway. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, get a bit paranoid.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are these things? Kangaroos?
Oh, yes.
What are they?
They're like giant... I can't think of a native animal from your country.
It's a bit like a badger.
Yeah.
A little bit
like a badger. You know what I mean? Now, some other exciting news, guys, just really briefly. So, I saw a report today, right, that is a report of a report from Japan.
Wow.
And this report of the report from Japan is saying... So, we heard a little while ago that BMW and Toyota are going to do a sports car together, but we don't know any information. Well, an insider of an insider of an insider has told somebody who... And then the Nikkei have reported it. Apparently, it's going to be the next Z4 / Supra.
Well, that would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to go to the Detroit Motor Show this year, and Toyota showed this awesome concept.
That weird thing.
It was a sports car concept, and that was clearly their point, their way of saying, hey, if we were to, like, maybe do a Supra, would you possibly be interested in it? And the crowd went nuts, and so Toyota would have said, well, crap, we've got to do this car.
Yeah.
BMW would save a bucket load of money, that's with a B, a bucket load of money, if they co-developed a platform, because sports cars don't sell in great numbers.
No.
And if you want to make money, you have to have a lot of volume. And the only way to do that is to team up with somebody. Mm. Toyota, BMW, strange bedfellows, but it could work. And if they were going to do it, BMW is so high-end, they're not going to make a budget sports car platform. So it would only be a premium Toyota product. Hence the Supra.
Exciting,
so it
right?
sounds pretty plausible.
I was, and as a kid growing up, I was mad for a Supra. I was obsessed with them. I thought they were so beautiful. The first Supra, not the kind of the last one, which was also pretty cool. But the that first Supra was like, somebody had a Supra in Hamilton where I grew up, they were like the richest person in Hamilton. We thought they were the bee's knees. It had velour trim in it. You know what I'm saying?
Bring it back.
All right. On the one hand, this could be really exciting, but on the other hand, this worries me slightly because, you know, are we faced with a situation where, before long, we have only one car that is made by everyone?
Yeah.
And they just put different shells on it. And, you know, this happened, case in point, recently. I remember when I found out the new Renault Twingo was going to be rear-engined, rear-wheel drive. I got really excited. I was like, that's brilliant. Why have they suddenly done this? And then you realise it's a smart car. And I was completely disinterested.
And
that is exactly what happens every time I hear about a manufacturer sharing a platform and just making it the same car but look different on the surface. Totally lost interest. But if I thought it was a venture all of their own, suddenly Renault making a rear-engined, you know, twin-cylinder turbo rear-wheel drive town car. I was like, that's amazing. No, not at all.
I guess, you know, something's better than nothing, though. And with the way the world is, the only way that you can actually afford to develop cars like this is together. But the Nissan Renault Daimler whole tie-in is a weird one, because now Infiniti is building compact Mercedes cars under their ownership of Nissan, who have an alliance with Renault, who's aligned with Daimler globally. It's this weird, incestuous relationship between brands that is going on to a huge degree.
That one in particular is so funny you mention it, because I was looking at that this morning and, you know, they've announced or what's been outed or whatever, that that Q30 Infiniti, which will be their compact car, is going to be built on the same platform as the A-Class. Now, aren't they direct competitors?
Well, Mercedes, with the bigger Infiniti, the Q50, Mercedes gave Infiniti their old, now superseded turbo diesel engine and said, go nuts, guys. I think there might be a case of Mercedes sort of saying, Infiniti's so cash-strapped, it probably is willing to take slightly older Mercedes bits. And Mercedes says, well, sloppy seconds, totally. And Mercedes is saying, well, we have no use for this. Yeah. I don't know. That might not be the case. But I suspect there might be some of that, because Mercedes is big and powerful enough that I don't see why, like you say, it would give its newest, shiniest bits and pieces to Infiniti.
It's very, very strange.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, look, we will endeavour to find
out. Very often, though, does it?
No. Now, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Do stick around. We've got a lot more coming up, including we're just going to go over every little thing that's happened since we've been off air, like literally since the second we stopped last radio show.
Yes, today's episode is 6 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. So do stick around if you would. And also get in touch, 0427JOY949. We'd love to hear from you. You are listening to Joy 94.9, and the show is called Fender Bender. It is all about motoring and cars with motors, and motors that power cars, basically. I hope you understand.
It's very thorough. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, thanks for that.
We're pretty one-dimensional, actually. It's just cars. That's all. The end. Tim, Mike, and Dan here with you. Now, if you're just joining us, we have been off air for 3 months, and so much has happened, not to mention the fact that I've gotten greyer. Yeah, just a little bit.
No.
And also fatter. Whatever, that's fine. We won't be talking
No.
about
that. No.
A little bit.
No.
Yeah.
That'd be silly.
Yeah. Anyway. God, sorry. God, I am needy today. It's awful.
Oh, my gosh. What happened to you?
Somebody needs to slap me. That's what's going to happen.
Could be arranged.
Now, lots has happened, guys. Not all of it has been good news in the automotive industry. It has been a recall festival.
More recalls this year already than any other year in history.
Really?
I believe so.
Yeah, but would be. That makes sense.
Well, General Motors is just chaos. But you know General Motors is this... They've got this weird idea that, you know, they came out with a few recalls, and then a few more recalls, and then a few more recalls, all interrelated. And I'm guessing they've got a giant spreadsheet in Detroit that says every car we have ever made is now being recalled.
Yeah.
And they're going to dole them out slowly, bit by bit by bit. They've been taken to the Supreme Court, blood on hands, all that stuff.
Yep.
What is interesting is they appointed the first ever female... CEO, Mary Barra.
What a great name, by the way.
It is, and it was this whole, like, oh, look at us, we're all inclusive, and it's the first, and it was great at the time. You think, this is amazing. And then a week later, all this recall stuff just hits the fan, and
poor
suddenly
Mary.
It looks like she's just the victim. They're thrown under the bus and said, take the heat for us, which is sort of what's happened.
It does look like. I feel terrible for her. I think she's been slammed.
Thin end of the wedge.
Absolutely. But you know what? Baptism of fire. She'll probably absolutely soar after this. Like, I think, you know, she's going through the worst
like
thing
bird.
She could have, like a phoenix rising. No, I think she'll do really, 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 really well.
One of her unrecalled cars.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Takata, a Japanese manufacturer that makes airbags for almost everything in the world, suddenly realised, oh, crap, all those airbags that we made, they're kind of faulty too.
Yeah.
So you've had about 7 brands have to recall the airbags in their cars. Of course, it's not really the brand's fault. It's Takata's fault, because they're the supplier. That's caused chaos. It's just
crackers.
Been a recall festival. But end of the day, recalls are a good thing, because it does mean that car makers are actually, you know, it doesn't mean if your car gets recalled, I think it's important to stress, it doesn't mean your car is just going to combust spontaneously.
No.
It means that there might be a fault, and if there is a fault, it only happened under extreme circumstances.
Yep.
It's unlikely. It's not as if your car's a death trap. It's just that there could potentially be a problem, and we probably should fix it.
And statistics are always a dangerous thing.
Yep.
What this means is that cars are not potentially what this means, I should be very careful to say. It doesn't mean the cars that they're making are getting any worse. On the contrary, it means we're getting better at finding out small problems. And it's exactly the same case when you frequently look at sort of, say, statistics for crime in, say, urban areas. Is that because place, you know, when you find a statistic rising, is that because the place has got more dangerous, or is it because people are reporting the crimes more? One is very good, the other is very bad. It's exactly what happens with car recalls. What we're seeing at the moment is potentially them getting their act together and actually having better quality control systems to find these problems.
And the other thing is, I mean, with more technology that goes into these vehicles, I mean, you look at something like, you know, an S-Class, a 7 Series, something with all of that technology. I mean, like, things are going to happen, you know? Things are going to fail. Like, technology's not flawless. It's, I don't know. I think it's just going to keep happening. And I think we need to get out of the mentality of, oh, bad thing, recalls. It's like, no, it's a good thing. They're fixing something before something really, really bad happens. Now, still on the safety front, guys, we all know ANCAP, the Crash Test Authority in Australia.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've seen the ads on TV. There has been a lot of pushing for this autonomous emergency braking. They've got ads. They're spending a lot of money on
it
this. It's really interesting, isn't it?
For a long time, it was stability control, and that's become sort of, you know, de rigueur now. Everyone has it. It's mandatory, and passenger cars soon will be in, like, commercial vehicles. Now it's all about cars that stop themselves at low speeds. My publication, we went and recently did some filming at a racetrack of all these different cars that were fitted with it and put it to the test, and it's that situation where, yeah, you're not looking at the thing in front of you, and the car, out of the blue, just stops itself. No harm done, no damage done. And in Europe, Euro NCAP is starting to mandate that. You can't get five stars unless you have that.
Wow.
Australia will follow suit in time. During the week, NCAP criticised Nissan for not including that technology. So, you know, it's becoming, you know, pretty mainstream.
It's, I guess what they're doing, what I find interesting is, you know, this car, it's the Cash Car, which is coming out next week, I think, their little, you know, the replacement of the Dualis. It got five stars. It did very well in the tests. I kind of feel like, if they're going to mandate it, then mandate it. But don't go, oh, it got five stars, it got top results, but it would have been better if it had about this. Well, it wouldn't have been because you haven't changed your criteria.
Precisely.
Change your criteria.
Precisely.
And then maybe you can have a whinge.
You can't criticise it for breaking a rule you never made.
Yeah. Precisely. And I get that they're lobbying for that and for car makers to do it. And there's nothing bad with any of this. I get all of that. But I just think it is almost a little bit cheeky.
Yes. Yeah. What's going to be next, Tim? You know, they criticise a car because it doesn't have an ejector seat in it.
That's right.
You know, the Cash Guy's amazing. Got five stars, but it doesn't have a parachute just in case you drive off a cliff. You know, what if some accidents will happen? It's bloody ridiculous.
I do like the point that you were making before on their team about you have a concern about cars that stop themselves at low speeds. Which...
Well, yeah. That's a bit freaky. And is that what's going to happen with this kind of technology? Are we going to see people sitting in traffic on their phones or whatever, not really, like, you know, kind of low-speed traffic, like, you know, traffic jams or whatever, literally not concentrating because they know their car will stop for them if they've got this technology, this
and
autonomous automatic.
You just know it's going to happen.
Well,
you
a little
know
bit.
It's gonna, someone's like, I don't need to look at the damn road. I'll just keep texting. I'll keep Tindering because my car's going to stop for me.
We know what you're doing in the car then.
Absolutely, come on.
But look, it's I don't know, it's very interesting. But then in saying that, I had a friend of mine who I used to work with, and she was crushed between two cars. She's fine, she's just got leg issues, but a woman was not concentrating and doing something with her kid in the back, and the car slowly, very, very slowly crept towards her as she walked between two cars, and then the car grabbed her. Now, if that technology was there, that wouldn't have happened. Her legs would be normal. I don't know. So, I don't know. I have... Yeah, it's hard because I just... I have an issue with that, but I also think it's great if we have it.
When ESC was introduced, people might have been thinking, you know, oh, people are just going to, you know, just not worry if their car gets out of control because it'll fix it for them. And I guess... I suppose you have to... You have to hope that people will not take advantage of technology that's there and use it for the way it's intended, which is as a last resort
type
thing.
Yeah.
But hey, there is a lot of room for error.
I hear they're working on a car that will actually Tinder for itself as well.
One can only hope. One can only hope. Now, we've got a little bit more coming up, guys, just around the corner, but we do have a message we have heard from the lovely Sarah. Thank you for messaging in, Sarah. Welcome back, boys. Glad to have you back on the airwaves.
Shucks.
Any opinions on the new Skoda Rapid?
The Skoda Rapid.
Do you know what? I drove it. I think you might have driven it a little bit more, but I had it for maybe a night or two quite recently through work. I really liked it. It was the kind of the top spec one. It's maybe about 23, 24 grand. And I'm about to recommend it to a friend of mine who's got a previous model Golf, and she's looking to upgrade or get a new vehicle. And I'm going to suggest she has a look.
I'd say that's a really good recommendation. You can say lots of good things about this car, but the thing that I say is better than anything, it doesn't break the rule of just being another car. All over it, there's really good little things that make it just that bit different. And if you're after a car that is just a bit different, then the Rapid is a really great drive.
And it's called a Rapid.
Yeah. How good's that?
It's quite rapid as well, it's got a lot of room. It's a very spacious, very spacious small car.
I think it's...
You get more for your money than a Golf. It's not as good as a Golf. It's just not.
No,
it's not as good as a Golf, but then nothing is.
No.
It's pretty damn good, and there's a hell of a lot there for your money. It's a bit quirky. It's a bit left of centre. It's the sort of car that none of your friends will own. If all your friends have Mazda 3s and Honda 30s, you've got a Rapid. It's a bit different. It stands out, and... That's what a lot of people want, and you could do a hell of a lot worse.
I think so too. So, Sarah, let us know how you go if you end up buying a car of some description. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Make sure you stick around, yeah? You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. It is the Fender Bender boys here, Tim, Mike and Dan. We are back after a three-month break, and we are very, very happy to be sitting in these chairs, staring at each other longingly. Looking out the window going, God, we live in a crap city.
Sometimes. Aww.
No, we don't. I love Melbourne.
It's a great city.
It is a good city. But
climatically challenged occasionally.
Yeah. Climactically. Sorry. Oh, God. I'm very confused today. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, guys.
Speaking of climaxes, we've only got 10 minutes left.
It's true. It's true. And we better, you know, get right in there and get onto it, if you know what I mean. Oh, God.
Work up to a happy finish.
Pretty much.
Okay, guys. Right, let's do this.
Well, I think, Mike Costello, you've probably had a pretty happy finish recently, haven't you?
Yes, but, you know, leather seats have benefits.
I won't repeat what you said about driving that car.
No. A pair of Germans gave you a happy finish, you could say.
Hanging out with a couple of angry Germans, anyway.
Mike implied that driving these cars was particularly difficult by one reaction of his... Getting entangled in the spokes of the steering wheel. Carry on, Mike. Tell us what. Tell us all about it.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. This is just getting out of hand. It's far too early for that. no, we were privileged to be among the first to do a comparison test between the new and one of the most eagerly anticipated cars of the year, BMW's M4. Of course, they don't make an M3 coupe anymore. They've called it the M4, which is stupid. But anyway, that's what they've done. It's a legendary car. And we put it against its most natural rival, which is now 7 years old.
Seven, is it?
Well, we tested the latest and greatest version of the Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG Edition 507 that has bits from the SLS supercar under the bonnet. Mm. So it was a real test of old versus new, of twin turbo 6 versus Atmo V8. And it was a really amazing kind of... It was a really interesting test to put the newest and the latest and the greatest of German supercars up against the old school set. And, you know, it kind of reminded me why I'm really sad about the fact that naturally aspirated V8, thirsty, unrelenting, unenvironmentally friendly cars are disappearing. And the C63
you greenie.
It's really the last vestige of that, you know. Yeah. The noise of the thing, the visceral experience of it, it's the last of a dying breed, that car. And the next one, of course, it'll have a smaller turbocharged engine, just like everything else does these days. Mm. And to drive a car like the BMW that is, in most ways, in my opinion, a better car. It's newer, it's shinier, it's got a better interior, better ride. It's a newer generation of vehicle, but it kind of an old school car with that visceral, noisy, naturally aspirated V8. You just kind of can't beat it. And for me, it was this real... It really brought home to me what we're losing. And I know that we have to do it. I know that environmental regulations dictate that now we have to go in a new direction with powertrains, but we're sort of losing something magical in the process.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But you're right. It's kind of... That's just what's happening, isn't it? There's no getting around it, guys.
I know. But all we can hope is that, you know, turbocharging on the grand scheme of things, albeit very old, is still only coming into its initial stages of doing a job very well. Mm. So all I'm hoping is that we're just seeing a natural progression through and that someone's going to really crack the turbocharging thing. Virtually with every performance car that comes out with a turbo on it, it's getting better. Mm. You know, the latest turbo cars I've driven have been very low lag and perform very, very well. And so I think we'll arrive at a point where we'll say, well, you know, what's all the fuss about? Not really missing out on anything anymore. Mm. For now, though, there is a real...
Make them noisy.
Well, exactly. That's the problem. And as we've seen in Formula One as well, you know, turbos, they make things a lot more fuel efficient and perform very well, but they do take away a certain animalistic element of a nice, naturally aspirated engine.
Mm.
Sigh.
What's the RS4?
The RS4.
That's a competitor in that.
That's a naturally aspirated V8, very high revving.
Yeah.
And again, like the C63, it sounds the bees.
Yeah.
So what's, oh my God. I wonder what Audi's strategy is. For their neck, because the A4's obviously
they will go in the direction everybody is, which is a smaller capacity, 6 or 8 with a couple of turbos strapped to it. Right. You just have to. It's the only thing you can do now with environmental regulations in place, which again is a good thing, but.
Yeah. Sadness. Exactly. Sadness part one. Thank you very much, Mike Costello. Now, Dan, I believe you wanted to get something off your chest, basically.
Wow. Hello.
Yeah, I've been waxing recently, and it's been really working well.
I don't know if it has. Let's do it. Now, no, you're a little bit annoyed at some spelling, perhaps. Is that right?
That's quite possibly true, yes. Now then, we were having a conversation, and this comes up quite frequently, actually, is I have a bit of a displeasure when it comes to a lot of car names.
Yeah.
We were talking about... Now, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to try and keep this one as light as possible. Now, one recently we talked about was... This is a little bit older now. Ford... have called the two cars the same thing.
What are you talking about?
Of course, I'm talking about the Cougar.
Ah, yes.
Now, which one did I just talk about then? Does anyone know? No,
because I'm going to say the one with a K for some reason.
No, it wasn't. It was the C. No, I'm playing with you because that was the opposite answer.
Yeah.
No, frequently car companies get names wrong or they come up with silly ideas. Now, which is the one that you're talking about, Tim?
Well, I thought you were a little bit testy about the new Nissan Qashqai.
Right. Brilliant example.
Calm down.
Dear Nissan, a Q is immediately followed by a U. But you have not done that twice in one name.
But don't they reserve the right to just be a little bit jazzy with their name?
Come on. Yeah, they do, but then they do that at the risk of making me vomit all over the...
Well, I would dare say that maybe if that did have U's in it, it would be called the Qashqai.
Well, spell it properly then.
I've just looked this up because I knew there was some significance. Qashqai is a conglomeration of clans of different ethnic origins throughout the Arabic and Turkish region. So it's a reference to a Turkish tribe.
And is also
but
spelt...
But they don't spell it like that. Because that's written in R alphabet.
It's in Arabic. I guess it's the translation is a QA though.
Yeah.
Can you let that slide, or is that still...
I appreciate your research while we're live on air, Mike, but no, absolutely makes no difference
at all.
It's
very deep and thorough research.
Because you can still call it a Qashqai, and you can get people to pronounce it properly. You just spell it differently.
Oh, dear. Look, I feel like that there are a lot of names out there that we could get very testy about, so I feel like this could almost become a weekly
thing. You said testy twice in this conversation.
I love that word. I think there's a lot we could
cover. Do you have any car names out there, dear listeners, that you just can't stand? You can reach us.
Probably best to do it on our Facebook page because we might have to talk about it next week. But guys,
facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy.
That's the one.
Hey,
thank
we remembered it.
That's amazing.
Visit which that. Is also the same as our Twitter. Guys, we've got to shut it down. It's time to go.
Time
we are back. And that was very quick. Thank you very, very much, boys, for your time today.
It is an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having us back again, Tim. And
thank you for...
Bloody good to see you sat back in the old panelling chair.
Well, I'm lucky I remembered what I was doing just. But thank you guys for coming in today. And we will be back next week, of course. And, of course, it would be wonderful if you stuck around for Critical Hit with the lovely Luke Mitchell. It's on next. It's all about gaming, and it's super, super fun. My name is Tim Nicholson, and... I'm signing off for Fender Bender Joy. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.